You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it useful again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Here ends the reading. Good evening. I'm slightly hesitant to speak about myself for three very good reasons. One, because the smallest letter in and the smallest word in our language, I, can open up a huge pit. Second, because Miller gave such an excellent talk last week and it set the bar very high. And third, with so much going on in the world, how dare I speak about my own life? Let alone when I compare my paltry efforts to the amazing achievements of so many other musicians. But here we are, and I have been asked to speak about my life with music, much of which has been played out in our wonderful community, a goldfish bowl perhaps, in our village of Brockenhurst. And I do thank you for the opportunity that this talk has given me personally to reflect on my life so far. And in sharing how it's been for me, I pray that it will encourage you to reflect upon your life in likewise manner. As I've written and rewritten the text for tonight, I've seen God's hand more and more clearly in all that has happened to me. We all live out our daily lives, stumbling through messy dilemmas and dancing on the eggshells of life. And it can seem like a haphazard and chaotic tapestry, especially when seen from behind. But God Himself is weaving something extraordinary and wonderful, almost beautiful. So now, as I stand here today, I humbly suggest that outwardly I have become a musician teacher, an enabler, and hopefully an encourager. And I've also become a person of prayer. And in the company of wonderful other people, I start each day and every day in intercession for our world, for our nation, for our church, for our community, and for individual, personal lives in a group that is called Heartbeat, which might be a clue to the musical direction we're going in. And because this has been one of our continuous prayers, I want to just stop and give deep thanks tonight for the safe arrival home of Nazanin and Anoush, and to give the Lord thanks that their families have stayed together through thick and thin, and we pray now His blessing upon them as they meet. And also in that moment of prayer, to pray for discernment as to what may be the hidden agenda behind this wonderful news, and which may bring very different effects later on and elsewhere. Now, I have to recognize before I start talking that I have been so blessed by the ministry of wise women and how they have counseled me in many different ways at different stages. And as I put my talk together, I found myself putting a lot of words together, beginning with P. There used to be on PCC a P map, which I always thought was a rather ugly way of talking about things. But anyway, I've got some P words. And I think, Paul, you might just kindly show people. I made this list because it helps me to think of the different little pinpoints of things that matter and things that I'm passionate about. So you can pick them up on the back of your copy that I've given you with the words of the hymn. But anyway, perhaps you can peruse them for yourself. As I start, I'm just going to give you four little flashbacks from my early life. Aged four, dancing with inner joy whilst my grandmother played March Militaire by Schubert. Age seven, climbing up and nestling into the crook of a big weeping willow tree to do my homework. Aged eight, the only memory I have of my rather austere grandfather, listening to him play the small pipe organ that he had in his house, and despite my frantic efforts to hand pump the blooming machine, seeing the plumb line disappear up to the top and the air come out of the organ, as some of us will know from our previous experiences. And later on, age 20, whilst doing a guided inner vision course, having a very clear picture of a woman spinning gold thread. Now, these threads have been woven into my life, and I will, I'm afraid, bore you with a little resume of how that is, because I know that I have listened to many wonderful people speak about their lives, testimonies, and it's really encouraging to understand the life they've lived, and it gives perspective and context to how the person moves from one stage to another in their lives. So very briefly, I grew up in a musical family and at five started having piano lessons, which at first were lovely, and then the grim reality of the tough nitty-gritty of practice and keeping going set in. However, I kept going and went off to boarding school, where I've met the first of my wise women, Miss Bedlington, Beddy for short, who was a tiny Welsh lady with the softest and sweetest small hands, and yet she could play Brahms exquisitely. And for anybody who knows about Brahms, that's a big stretch. She taught me to play the piano and guided me through to grade eight and then on to the Royal College of Music. I spent 3 years in this august London college, being both inspired and in despair. The problem is that when you undergo a professional, cool training in something that you instinctively love, it can take you to the edge of hating the very thing that you were passionate about, constantly facing a sense of failure for not being good enough. And whilst I was studying piano and cello there, I happened upon a classroom at the back of the college where students were doing movement to music. And hence, I entered the world of Dalcroze Eurythmics. Gaining a scholarship, I went off to study in Geneva, and I completed the fourth year of their licence degree, all in French. My French went like this, je suis anglais. This work was utterly liberating. Do you remember the picture of the little girl dancing? As well as very exacting. It is the study of time, space, and energy, and it's found in Greek education, and it applies just as well to sport, as well as to dancing, as well as to music. Put simply, it's about fully experiencing music in your first instrument, your body. And it opened up a whole new world of skills and understanding. Improvisation, rhythmics, dance, choreography, singing, solfège, psychology and pedagogy, which is the study of how to teach this method, and which I've been trying to follow through ever since. Returning to England and after 18 months of teaching in a boys' prep school, I finally had to admit that I needed help with anorexia, which had crept into my life at college and after 4 or 5 years had a real grip on my life. When I sat opposite Professor Crisp, a very august and rather, again, austere man, he asked me whether I wanted to live or die. answered I didn't want to die, but I just didn't know how to live. So I was put on a hospital bed for 3 months, given cheese sandwiches, and chatted with some gorgeous doctors and nurses who attempted to sort me out from this very complicated condition. But I did feel extremely alone. Then one day, having nothing to do in solitary confinement, I looked in the cupboard beside my bed, and there was a Bible. Now, I had been brought up in a good C of E home, and at school I'd had confirmation, but I'd never really read the Bible. And so I thought I'd better start, and I began with the Psalms, because they looked shorter and easier. And then I came to this psalm, and the light went on.
The reading is from the New Living Translation. It is Psalm 139, and the title of the psalm is For the Choir Director, a Psalm of David. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say, even before I say it. Lord, you go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me. And your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. I left that hospital with new life. Not much else, but new life inside. And I went then to work for the Christie family in Glyndebourne. And after 2 wonderful years there, I decided I wasn't going to be a nanny anymore, and I went off to Australia. And then after another 2 years, I narrowly escaped from settling down to being a parish wife in Melbourne, and I returned to become a music specialist in a Hammersmith comprehensive school. During those years, I sang with Sir David Wilcox in the Bar Choir, wonderful concerts in fantastic halls, and the highlight of each year was to sing the St. Matthew Passion. Fast forward, I joyfully met and married a sailor, Brian, who then became a tree officer, the willow tree and my homework, and we came to Brockenhurst with 2 small children on the day that the church hall was opened, and we timed it to perfection with a slap-up lunch. Immediately, I realized that I could continue teaching the music and movement classes that I had begun in this wonderful new church hall. School opportunities came along, and I developed them by writing plays and putting on shows for all the children in the school, and we had amazing days and wonderful times. They were very productive. So Brian was working as the senior tree officer for the New Forest, and I found myself as a mother and a peripatetic musician. David Brewster, the vicar, also asked me to take on the post of musical director to the parish, and suddenly I was having to learn the skills that my grandfather had possessed, but not passed on. So I tried my best, trying to support musical initiatives, learning how to play plain chant, finding things in subterranean depths of the organ, and generally trying to run the choir and the music of the parish. But during that time, we twice put on the St. Matthew Passion, twice. It was the most amazing experience, and it was with double choir and double orchestra, can you believe it, in this lovely, lovely church. And over the years, there have been numerous concerts with different choirs and groups in this beautiful space. I have loved playing to enable people to sing and worship. I've loved weddings, but I've even loved funerals more, as you hear about the lives of people. And I've enjoyed trying to bring people together in creative musical ways, which God has always inspired. One of my simple joys during all those years of being musical director was to sing and play beautiful hymns, even those 4-line hymns, simple as they are, with words that touch your core and then stay in your ears and pop up as you go shopping the next day. Piano pupils have been such a blessing, a real blessing from the Lord, and they have been my teachers. It's been such a privilege to spend time with someone and encourage their brave attempts to learn a new skill. And in learning an instrument, you're not only learning about musical concepts, but you're putting in place the building blocks of life skills, such as obedience, endurance, patience, goodwill, humour, being prepared to try again. And it's truly humbling to sense another person's personal effort and see their huge achievements. Singing has been a passion, and so the easiest way to weave that into my busy life was to start a choir in my own home and to enable others to sing by playing for them. First of all, the Tuesday Girls, and then the fabulous Friday Girls, and not forgetting the superb Sing for Fun ladies. Enabling these groups to meet and sing has been a special joy because it's had an almost Chaucerian gaiety. And sharing fun and friendship through music, plus raising funds for many charitable organisations, has been such a blessing. And finally, and certainly not least, is the group I first started with when my little one was on her way. And I have now had 40 years of my professional life sitting on the floor with small children and their parents making music. It's definitely not a whizzy or glamorous career. Joyce Grenville had a thing or two to say about it. And in the great scheme of educational hierarchy, it features as a muffled giggle. However, in a way that paradox is woven into all that we do, this area of education is deeply rewarding, because you're not only training a child's inner ear and perception, but along with them, you have the parents' education to consider. I've probably had more musicians, actors, dancers, doctors, dentists, bankers, pilots, prime ministers sit on my lap than you could shake a stick at. The potential of each child is unlimited, and yet they all have to start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. And they have to learn fundamental skills. Music and movement can help build not only musical attention and social skills, but the ability to concentrate. And through sharing in a listening circle, children learn together, which is the basis of society. Basically, it's an expression of the common good, to take a nice Anglican phrase. Finally, although thus far it's been a bit of a hop, skip and jump through my musical life, it isn't really about me at all, but it is about what God in his mercy has done with me and through me. Throughout my life, I have prayed. And in my early days, my frequent prayer was H-E-L-P. And I can't tell you how many times he's rescued me. When we first came to Brockenhurst, I can remember kneeling here for many weeks, asking the Lord why on earth he'd brought me to a place where people wore green and brown and wellies. I wore red and pink, and I didn't even own a pair of walking boots. And I asked him, how was I going to survive in a very well-behaved C of E church with, frankly, not much else going on? And I felt him say that I was to stay here on Sundays, but that during the week, Monday to Saturday, he would take me elsewhere. And so I began my adventure with the Lord. And as I said yes to him, so I found the Bible came to life. I studied with many wonderful teachers who gave me the whole counsel of God, beginning to end. In the midst of them was another very wise woman called Betty, who was a postman's wife, but with spiritual depths that few people have. And in studying every book of the Bible, was woven the understanding of prophecy, that golden thread that I had as a 20-year-old. Prophecy and Israel and end times and the signs of Jesus' return. Things I never knew before and which now I have found so amazing because they are utterly true and withstand the deepest scrutiny. It has been so exciting to learn deeply and to learn more. And there is no other book on earth that has the authority that the Bible has, for the fact that it proclaims truth and it is verified by prophecy. Prophecies that have been fulfilled in detail and will be fulfilled in detail. Hindsight is amazing, and as we see in the unfolding narrative of Jesus' birth and death. But these days in which we live in are extraordinary, and I want to strengthen and encourage all of us to seek for a vibrant, living faith, because we are alive in the days that the prophets long to see, and we need to develop a thirst and a hunger to know more. The world of music is a beautiful reflection of God's mystery and magnificence and holiness. And at a simple level, we can listen and adore, or strive to acquire skills, or participate in communal singing and dancing, or indeed a million other ways. It's always a privilege beyond words to be caught up in wonder and praise. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And now finally, as I come to an end, I just need to be honest and true about all that I have learnt in my life and openly express to you the challenge that I have found as I have gone around listening and studying and asking questions. I've lived among you, and you have been very kind and tolerant of what some of you may see as my wacky ways and my off-the-wall ideas. And equally, I have wanted to stay and play. Play for your services and play for the many things that go on here which need music and need somebody to support by playing. But maybe there's also been a sense that she's okay so long as you don't let her speak or don't let her challenge you with her funny old ideas. However, if the skills I have learnt as a musician to read each musical note correctly, to faithfully keep time, to rightly interpret the composer, if that's true for music, then it's also true for reading the Word of God. And share it I must, for one day the Lord will say to me, "What did you do with the vision I gave you?" Jesus calls us to be salt and light, and that matters. So finally, whether we like it or not, the missing piece to understanding the Bible puzzle is Israel. And surprisingly, it's hidden in plain sight. Jesus came to earth as a Jew, living in a Jewish family, with an amazing Jewish lineage, and walking the ground that God had already given to that people, that land called Israel. This amazing piece of the puzzle reveals the purposes and plans and promises of God. It makes sense of the golden thread of prophecy. And it goes to explain why we're living in such an increasingly turbulent world. Because for the first time in 2,000 years, the Jewish people are back in the land that God first gave them. And frankly, the enemy doesn't like that. Remember King Herod slaughtering all the baby boys at Jesus' birth. And what's more, Jesus will return to the very same place in Jerusalem. Just look at Zechariah 14, verse 4. So, I know that many people don't like to think about Israel in this way, because of the present political situation, but I can only just offer it to you as an amazing gem to help understand God's heart. God's very heart, he watches over Israel. We talk about it so often, but actually it's really true. And things are moving in our world very quickly. And God is God of geopolitics as well as everything else. So I just offer it to you to go away and think about. And whether you choose to look into these deep areas or whether you choose to remain uninvolved, the simple message is still the same. We are free to choose whether we believe in Jesus or not. But I plead with you. Don't ignore the opportunity to say yes to God's loving invitation to walk or hop or skip or dance or even just stumble along the pathway of life with him. Because I can only say from personal experience that he does pick us up. When we're in a mess, he dusts us down and he gives us fresh hope. And that's why we sang the words, "Teach me thy way, O Lord." Because that's a good place to start and to continue and to finish. Thank you.